No talking or whispering for our lesson for tonight. And remember, tomorrow night, most of my questions will be on tonight's lesson. Now, as we started this morning, we started in Matthew chapter 13. And remember that I told you one of the key words in Matthew chapter 13 was the heart. Now, that's mentioned several times. The other key word that's mentioned 17 times, or the form of the word, is the word hear. And so we don't only want to hear with our outward ears, but we want to hear with the ears of our heart. And it's most interesting when we talk about the heart, because you see, in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, it says this, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, I suppose that most of you are aware of, and you young people, that what the heart's job is to pump the blood. Yes, that's the job of the heart, is to pump the blood. Because, you see, it doesn't make any difference who we are. We're all going to die unless the Lord comes with that shout and we go home to be with Him. And, you see, when you die, it doesn't make any difference whether you have an accident or whether it's a disease or whether somebody shoots you or whatever. We're all going to die the same way. Because you know what's going to happen when you die? When you die, the heart stops. It no longer pumps the blood. Oh, listen, my friends. It's important that we know where we're going to spend eternity. Now, the Word of God tells us in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17 and verse 19, these words, "The heart is deceitful and above all things, and desperately wicked." Yes, I, the Lord, search the hearts. The Lord searches each and every heart. And then we read over there in Hebrews 9:27, where it says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment." And that's why we read in Proverbs 23:26, where it says, "My son, give me the heart. Give it to me." Oh, listen, if you've never given your heart to the Lord before, now's the time to give your heart to Him. And then we find also that it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing for the heart to be established with grace. We're saved by grace. Oh, that we might be established in it. And so we read tonight also in that verse in Ezekiel 18:31, where it says, "Cast away therefore your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a clean and a new heart." Oh, tonight, that you might cast away your sins unto the Lord and have a new clean heart. Now also, when we read God's Word, it's important to find out how it says about the heart. And we read tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20, where Samuel said to the people, Samuel said, "Fear not, you have done all this great wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." That's what he said. Serve Him with all your heart. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 and verse 3, it says, "Yea, the hearts of the sons of men are set upon them to do evil." Oh, so many do evil things in life. But what we need to do is ask for forgiveness and then serve the Lord. Now, you can read several portions in God's Word where it talks about the heart. And it's so important because, you see, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Yes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we find there in Psalms 27 and verse 8 when it says, my son, give me thine heart. Yes? I mean, Psalms 27 and verse 8, that's Proverbs 26. But in Psalms 27, where it says, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 24 says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Then we have that verse that's well known in 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter 3, where the Lord says that we need to also to keep our hearts. Oh, yes, because the Lord is coming. And then we have John 14, where it says these words in verse 27, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, tonight, I trust that you know what it is to give him your heart and trust in him. We could give other verses on the heart, but right now, what I want to do is begin now with my black light once again, where we found that the seed was sown by the Lord. That's good. My ushers are alive. That's great. Okay, they're coming. So we find, yes, that the Word of God makes it very clear that the Word was sown, and they heard it. The people heard the Word of God, but only one-fourth of all the seed that was sown by the Lord fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. Now we found out this morning how the first one, where it fell on the trodden ground by the wayside. And you know, as soon as that seed fell, Satan was right at work. There's people here who have heard the Word of God. And Satan is at work right away to take that right away from your heart, what you have heard. And he wants you to go to hell. Oh, there's no question about it that he doesn't want you to believe the Word and be saved. And so we found on the first round that the agent that was at work was Satan. He had his birds right there. And we read in James chapter 5 and verse 8 where it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he can devour. Well, that was the trodden ground. But the next ground that we are going to talk about is the thin ground. And when the seed was sown here on the thin ground, why, we find that it fell upon the stones. When the seed fell upon the stones, yes, the seed sprung up quickly, but there was no depth at all. It was just sprung up quickly, and then, as you can see also, that it wilted away. Oh, yeah, that's what happened to that seed, so there was no fruit. Now, on the first ground that we talked about, the heart was hard. In the next one here that we've got pictured, we're going to find out that the heart is a hollow heart. It's not a hard heart. It's hollow. And it gets very emotional when it hears things. And there's many people who have gotten emotional about the Word of God when they hear that they're going to hell because those who don't know the Lord. But you see, there's no roots. They don't get down deep, and there's no fruit in their life. And there could be people right in this room. Oh, there was a time when you got emotional when you heard the Word of God preached. But this heart, the agent that is at work, is self. And it's a lot of emotions, but there's no depth in the Word of God. Now, I like that verse that we have where it says that as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, being rooted and grounded in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, and abounding in thanksgiving. And then we read also that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Oh, that you might be rooted deep into the love of God. Why, that verse goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 3, where it says, Now he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Yes, he's able to do more than you can ask or think if you get rooted into the Word of God. So here we find that the mind is not shut like the first one. We find here that the mind is very shallow. And because the mind is shallow and there's no roots, why, first of all, you find that that which springs up, it droops quickly. Oh, there's many who have made an emotional response, as I said, but they droop quickly and they do not get rooted into the Word of God. And then what happens is also that you'll find these kind of people are stubborn, yes, disobedient to the Word of God, and not following what God's Word says. And so as a result, they do not bring forth fruit. Remember what it says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16, where it says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No. What they're looking for is for real fruit. And so is the Lord looking for fruit in your life. So on the second ground, we find that the seed fell upon the stones. Now when it comes to the third ground, we find here that it says that the seed fell among the thorns. Yes, and here the heart is not a hard heart. It's not a hollow heart like that second one. No, what we're going to find on the third ground, it's a half heart. You see, because this heart, oh, let me tell you, this heart is got a crowded mind. Why, it's not a mind that's shut. It's not a mind that's just shallow. It's a mind that is crowded with all kinds of things. And there's many times you'll find people, when they hear the Word of God, they're so interested in all the things of the world and so forth that their mind is crowded with all these things and not with the things of the Lord. So here you see, as the seed was on this part of the ground, why, it sprung up, but the thorns came up with it and choked it out. And it didn't bring forth any fruit. Oh, there's many people who have got such a crowded mind. Yes, crowded with all kinds of things, So there's no fruit when it springs up and develops. Now, as I said, the mind in this case is very crowded. Why? The Word of God says, with godliness and contentment, there is great gain. But they that be rich fall into temptations and snares and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some having coveted after have erred from the truth and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yes, you see, we should be content with such things as we have, because as that portion says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we come into this world naked and we go out naked. We don't bring anything in and we don't bring anything out when we die. But you see, the problem is with people through life, they get their mind so crowded with all kinds of things. And so Christ is left out of their life, so they don't bring forth fruit unto Him. Now, I've got some different thorns here that I want to put on the board. And these are some of the thorns that come and choke out that seed so it doesn't bring forth fruit. This one, I like this one because it's a popular thorn that people have. They have no time for the Bible. Oh, how sad it is that there's many people who have no time to get into the Word of God and see what it has to say. I remember some years ago, there was a young lady that came here to the Gospel Chapel. She moved away, but we find when she was here, she was around 30 years of age, and she got at that point in life where she was a little worried about the fact whether she would ever get married. And I remember sitting down and praying with her about that, because she was sincere about wanting a godly man. And so, lo and behold, it wasn't long after that a man came along and asked her out for a date, to go out to eat. And so she said to him, when he asked her, "Where did you read today in God's Word?" "Oh," he said, "I didn't have time to read God's Word today." Well, she said, "If you didn't have time to read the Word of God and let God talk to you and you talk to Him, then I haven't got time for you either." Now, that was hard on her, because she really would have liked to have gone out for dinner. But you know, the Lord honored that, because as a little time passed by, lo and behold, another one came along. And this man, he was a man that was interested in following the Lord. And as it happened, they got married, and now they're no young kids anymore, but they're going on for the Lord. Oh, listen, that you might decide in your life that you want a person that's going to live for Him. Now, here's another thorn that comes in. No time for church. Oh, why, the Word of God makes it very clear. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some are, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching." Here's a thorn that comes up often. Oh, this one causes a lot of trouble. And it's got the face of a pig on it. It's lust. Oh, listen. Lust is a thorn that will come in and destroy it, so there's no fruit for the Lord. Here's one. Oh, it sneaks its way in. Too much business. Oh, there's too much in the business, and you haven't got time for the things of God. Oh, how often that thorn will choke out that seed that springs up because Yes, the business snatches it away. Here's another one. This is a biggie. This thorn, oh, you'll find often in the mind. It's a thorn for pleasure. Oh, how pleasure comes in and destroys that seed so there's no fruit. I'll move along quickly. Here's another one. Deceit. Oh, my, how easily they're deceived. Here's one. Hate. Oh, hate comes in. And when you have that kind of an attitude, you're the one that really suffers, and there'll be no fruit. Then, I still have another thorn here. Love of money. Nothing wrong with having money. Oh, listen. There's nothing wrong if you turn out to be a millionaire and you use that money for the Lord's work. But it's the love of money that the Word of God says is the root of all evil. And then we find here is another one. No time for Christ. And here are the different thorns. And there could be many, many more that could be put up that would be different names. But, oh, it crowds the mind. And there's no fruit in the life. Now, remember we said there was four kinds of ground. The first one, Satan was the one who caused the problems. Then we found in the second ground it was self. Here it's the sin of the world, and God's word says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so we find it's the sin of the world. But in the last ground that we're going to find, that the seed fell into good ground. As it says in the Gospel of Luke, where the story is told as well, it says, that which fell into the good ground, the seed that fell into the good ground, is he that heareth and understandeth and beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Oh, that tonight, that the seed, the Word of God, would fall into good fruit. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Yes, herein is the Father glorified, that ye bring forth much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And so we find here that this ground, it brought forth fruit unto the Lord. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. That you might bring forth fruit unto the Lord. Now, here we have a different kind of heart. The first heart was a hard heart. The second heart was a hollow heart. The third heart, we find, was a half heart. And we find that this is the heart that is an honest heart. Oh, the first thing that this heart was honest about is that it was a sinner. And it confessed its sin. Yes, the one who has an honest heart will be honest and confess their sin and cry out for salvation. You know, many people don't want to admit that they are sinners. But the honest heart will do that and then ask for forgiveness. And God's word says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so you see, what happens then is Christ, or the Spirit of God, dwells within. Now, if you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, then you are not a child of God. But when you ask the Lord to save you, why, that's what He does. And it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know ye not that your body is the temple of the living God, which is in you? The Holy Spirit is in you. Ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is in you, which is of God. Ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God. And we should glorify God. And the Spirit of God should dwell within. So here is one that hears the word. And then after they hear the word, they absorb it. Yes, they take it in. Just like that verse said that I quoted. They hear it. They understand it. They absorb it. And they bring forth fruit. Oh, tonight, I trust it will be in your life that you are acting upon what God tells you. And you obey the word of God and be a vessel for Him. So we find here is the true heart. And we find, yes, that it's one that is honest before the Lord. Now, we find here that with this here heart here, the one that brings forth fruit, why, one of the things that you will see is that it is witnessing. I think of the verse in Romans chapter 1 and verse 13 where it says that when Paul writes, he says, but now, I'm sorry, that's 1:13, just a minute, that verse just slips my mind. I'll read that. I need a starting point here. Now, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those things. Now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was left hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, as also among the Gentiles. And so what he wanted to do is to see fruit amongst these ones. Yes, and also amongst the Gentiles who they were speaking to. And then we find another thing in Romans chapter 6 where it says, but now being free from sin and alive unto God, that your fruit might be unto holiness. Yes. Then again you see that we should live a holy life. It says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then also we find that it says in Romans chapter 15 where Paul once again says, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for there are those of Macedonia and Achaia who have made a certain contribution to minister to the poor saints at Jerusalem. So you see, when a person gets saved, they not only witness, they not only try to live a holy life, they're not going to live sinless perfection, but when they do sin, they're going to keep a short account with God and confess it and get right, and then they want to also share with what they have to give to others. And so we find that they're sharing. They're asking Paul to take these gifts to the poor. And so Paul said that he would do that on his journey. Now, we're not saved by good works. Why, it makes it very clear in the book of Titus and Ephesians, where it says in Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. Why, we read also in Ephesians 2, where it says, for by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But notice the next verse that says, but we are his workmanship. Oh, listen, created unto Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, you don't get saved by good works, but when you do get saved, you need to do good works. And therefore, we read also in the book of Colossians that we should bring fruit of good works unto the Lord. So here again, we find that there's the characteristics of the fruit. We read in Galatians that there is one fruit, but it manifests itself in different ways, in 9 different ways. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, it's one of those ways that the fruit manifests itself in those one of those 9 ways. Now, if you happen to have been here on Thursday night, you would have heard how it says, let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but seek one to come. By him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. But to do good and communicate and forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And so God wants us to go forth and bring forth fruit. So, you see, here we have the 4 kinds of ground that we had there presented in Matthew chapter 13. The parable is also found in Mark chapter 4 and also in Luke chapter 8. Well, what we find is that as you read God's word, it tells us that if we're going to go forth for him, we should lift up our eyes. Now, what I told you this morning is I want to say again tonight. You are either a missionary or you are a mission field in this world. I don't know which you are. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you should be a missionary for him. I'm not talking about going across the seas. I'm talking about right here at home, that you would be a witness to those that you come in contact with. And so, you are either a missionary or you are a mission field. And the Word of God tells us this, that in John chapter 4 and verse 24, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. I say unto you, lift up your eyes unto the fields, for they are white already for harvest. Now, when fields are white, what that means is they're overripe. And my friends, we're living in a day where our time is short, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake up out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Oh, how we need to wake up and be a witness for those that are lost in this world. Now, not only are we to lift up our eyes, but we are to lift up our hands and also our hearts. I think of that verse in Psalm 63 and verse 3 where it says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee as I lift up my hands unto thy name. But when we talk about lifting up our heart, then we're going to lift up our hands as well. And Luke 6:38 tells us that as we lift up our hands, what we're going to do is give. And the word of God says there in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But I want to tell you, my friends, you can't outgive the Lord. The Lord will always give more. And then there's another thing that we need to lift up. Why, what we need to do is to lift up our feet and go. Wherever the Lord wants us to go, we need to lift up our feet and go for Him. Remember the words of Matthew chapter 28, where it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to do all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 it says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. We have a responsibility. And so again I say, you are either a missionary or you are a mission field. Now which are you? There are some here that are lost in their sins and need to be saved. There's others that say they're saved, but my, they're not bringing forth fruit unto the Lord. And they're a mission field as well. And I trust tonight that each of us will get into the Word and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Yes. No matter where we are, we can do something for the Lord. I often think of many friends that I have that are up in years, cannot do what they used to do, but the one thing that they can do is they can pray. Oh, how good it is for those who are praying, for the ones that are still active in the work. So you see, there's a job for all to do. We need to do a work for the Lord. Now, when we read Psalms 126 and verse 6, it says this, he that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Yes. Oh, it troubles me when I stop to think of people who are lost in their sins. It troubles me for those who claim that they know Christ the Savior, but are living in the world, and they're not bringing forth fruit unto the Lord. My friends, you need to ask yourself where you are. But the person that goes forth and sows the seed, why, the day is going to come that there's going to be rejoicing as he brings the sheaves in. Now, I want to make this very clear. I can't save anybody. I can't do that. My job is to plant the seed and water it. It's God's job to give the increase. Let me quote to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it says, so neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Yes. Listen, my job is to get people lost. And that's what I try to do as I sow the seed, is to make it clear that you're a sinner, that you're bound for destruction, for hell. And oh, my friends, God wants to give you eternal life. It's free. It's a gift. You can't work for it. But if you take the gift, then you have a responsibility to sow the seed, to plant it, or to water it. Because the day is going to come, and we're going to bring it in. That's why we sang that song. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. It's the Lord that does the saving, but we need to do the planting and the watering of the seed. I pray that each one here will do that which the Lord would have them to do. And those here that are not saved, that tonight would be your night, that you would take that gift of salvation. Every eye closed and head bowed.